Have your Bibles. Would you turn to that Psalm, Psalm 29. Psalm 29, verses 10 through 11. I want to just kind of speak to this, just preach to this today. So we're not going with our notes today, but I did manage to get some notes for you on the screen. So if you're a note taker, don't be disappointed. You don't have to be disappointed. So Psalm 29, 10 through 11. I spent some time in New Orleans this week doing some things with my mom's house. It's just been really tough. I mean, it's just been really tough. And if you've known me for any amount of time, when it comes to worry and anxiety, I have a hard time living what I preach. I'm just telling you right now, okay? And it's not like I'm overwhelmed so much every day, every moment of the day, but there's just those moments that can be really, really hard. That you can wake up at 4 in the morning and start to thinking about things that actually haven't happened yet. And so, Friday morning, just as a part of the weekly Friday morning manna, devotional I send to men, I spoke this. And so it came out of that message Friday morning came out of just this gut-wrenching thing of just life, because, you know, our parents age. They get sick. Sometimes they stay sick a long time. I mean, we've got experience with the Alzheimer's. Dad and now mom. And then the responsibility of just keeping things together and, you know, getting care for her and 24-hour care without having her go into a nursing home and or a Alzheimer's wing. And so I just want to tell you this because I just need you to know that this message comes out of that. And just because you see me smiling all the time, I am a happy guy, and I love you, and I want to engage you, and I want to bless you. You know, sometimes I get home and I think, oh God, what's this next? You know. And yet, here's the thought. How do we lean in to these hard times? How do we lean in knowing the end of our story? Right? The end of my mom's story, the end of my dad's story, which he's already experiencing. Because those of us who have faith in Christ, we don't grieve like the rest of the world who has no hope. Amen. Amen. We grieve with this great anticipation that he is going to return with those who've gone before us, and we're going to be caught up in the air together with them, and we will be together with them forever with the Lord. Amen. That's the end of our story. That's the end of our story, which is really the beginning of all eternity. When he comes and gets us, he appears, and we're all like him, just as he is. This is our hope. This is our anticipation. And so in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the struggle, there is this great hope, this great anticipation of God meeting me, meeting you, meeting us in the fire, in the flood. He meets us there. And so what I want to do today is I want to share about this passage of Scripture. And I'm going to kind of start over, okay? I'm going to start over from the time at the altar. And it just this means so much to me. And I want to share it with you. And I want to ask that God would cause you to resonate with this and to get our eyes off of something that God is in control of. He's in control of it. Whatever you're going through today, he's king. He's Lord. And so when I think about this great flood, the most catastrophic event that ever, ever hit the world, where God spoke to Noah, and for 100-something years, he built this ark, having never seen rain before, Never saw rain before. But yet God had warned him, there's a flood coming and I want to save your household. And the Bible says in Hebrews, by faith he built this ark and he saved, God saved his whole household. Okay. And I think about that catastrophic thought. I mean, because really, sometimes God is short on details, don't you think? He's short on details for purpose, for a plan. Because we want to know when it's happening and how it's happening and how it's going to happen, and we want to know it now. And yet sometimes God doesn't give us an explanation. But we lean into it because we know he's king. We know he's Lord. I can imagine being, for me, a claustrophobic guy, you know, stuck in an ark for all these days, for what, a quarter of a year, you know. I think I'd be getting claustrophobic and wondering, when is this thing ever going to end? And we become weary because it just doesn't seem to ever end. But we know the flood passed, amen? We look back and we see all the floods of our lives, all the hardship, all the trials, and how they passed. And God brought us to the other side. And this is the promise of this passage of Scripture, that he sat as king of the most catastrophic event in all of history. And yes, he says the Lord sits as king forever. That means right now and forevermore. And again, whatever the problem is, whatever the struggle is, whatever the anxiety about the future is, let me just say this, that flood in your life is real. Not made up, not imagined. Okay. And maybe you might think that nobody understands what you're going through. But let me say this, God does, and God knows, and it's real. We would never say to you, oh, that's not real. Get over it. It's an awful thing to say to your friends. You got to move on. Well, if you're going to say that, maybe you can encourage them what moving on means. It may not mean that the struggle ends, but moving on just means we're moving on with Jesus. That's what that means. And it can only mean that to you and me as believers in Christ. Because it doesn't mean that to any other person in the world except God's children. And this is the faith, and this is the joy of that faith, and this is how we find life in the midst of death, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of loss. This is how we find it, because he's king. He sits as king, and if he sat as king of that flood, he sits as king at your flood. That means he's Lord, and he's not some distant king on the throne up there somewhere. He is king of your life, and if he's king of your life, he's the king of the throne of your life. That's where he's at, and he's present. He's near, at hand. He's the king, listen to me, who is your Heavenly Father, Heavenly Dad, amen. Not some God way off that doesn't know what's going on. No, he is Lord and he is King. And he sits there and he's ruling and he's reigning and he always has and he always will. But here's the great news about my King, that I have a relationship with him. And I'm his son. And he's my heavenly dad. And he wants nothing but the best for us. And yeah, sometimes I wonder, sometimes you wonder, is this the best? Well, we know in Scripture that he's causing everything to work together for good to those who love God, to those called according to his purpose. We know in that passage of Scripture that the Holy Spirit is praying for us with groanings too deep for words, that Jesus is at the right hand, ruling and reigning, but also interceding for you in your trial, in your affliction, in your trouble. And what's so wonderful about this piece, this psalm, if you read it, the context of how God gives voice to everything. He gives voice to everything. The hardship, the hard things, the weather, everything he gives it. Matter of fact, the scripture says that he gives voice that makes the deer the calf. He's involved in every area of your life, even in the floods of our lives. He's king, and he sits as king, and he's trustworthy, and his character is awesome. And matter of fact, this is what he says he does for us. He sits as king forever, and then he says this, the Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, this is not just maybe. This is not something that's just contractual. Now, you got to walk in agreement with it. It's just something that we want to believe, that we can believe, and we must believe. That in the midst of the flood, I have strength. Because my God says, I give you strength. I give you strength in every area of life. Let me tell you just a couple of areas where we get strength. The very first one is that I want to talk to you is, he gives strength when you are weak. He gives strength when you are weak. And I guess that's the whole point of strength. I need strength because I'm weak. I'm weak in the moment. I'm weak in the initial news that might have been bad, hard. And I think about this passage of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 20, 29 to 31. Let's look at it on the screen. He gives strength to the weary, to him who lacks might. Watch, he increases power. Okay. So I just want to say this really, really important. Part of this strength piece and getting the grace of God is you got to humble yourself. You got to tell somebody about your need. You got to be open about it. You can't hold it in. You got to let somebody know. I mean, I'm weary. I'm weak. And yet what does he says? I'm going to give strength to the weary. If you lack might, I'm going to increase power. And though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, those that wait on the Lord will gain new strength. Now, most of us in here, we don't like to wait. We like to avoid waiting. Traffic, right? I'm going to avoid waiting, so I'm going to beat the traffic. And you never beat the traffic, right? Sometimes you gotta wait. Wait in line, wait for a meal, wait in a restaurant, wait for God. Where sometimes I say, God, where are you? No, look, what, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. This is where you find your strength. Submitting to him, not trying to do everything desperately to work it out, to fix the baby, to fix my kid, to fix my teenager, to fix my grandchild, to fix the disease, to whatever it is, to fix it, and I got to be busy to it. And Lord knows I'm a busy guy. And so often the propensity for me is just to maybe do it myself, and I don't wait on God. It's interesting. This just dawned on me. When I was a senior in high school, the seniors had a little bigger picture, and they got to make a quote. And I'll never forget. I said most of those guys had to get quote book from the library and just go through. What's the quote? What's the quote? What's the quote? What am I going to do? And I don't know if any of you guys are listening. I don't know if you ever do. Your quotes are ridiculous. Not all of you. This was my quote, 17 years old. And you would think at 67, I would have gotten it by now. Gain new strength. Mount up with wings like eagles. Run and not get tired. Walk and not become weary. What did he start with? He gives strength to the weary. But you got to wait on him. This is not some lazy activity where I sit back and don't do anything. That's not waiting. You know, I heard this when I was 18 years old of a friend who was teaching in Woodway and to a bunch of men, and my dad came with him, and I went to it, and he did this passage of scripture. And he said, you know, this waiting is not inactivity. It's not laying around, taking a week off. Think about your waiter who waits on you. There's a service piece in this. There's a direction piece in this. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm doing my part, but I'm waiting on Him. I want to hear Him. I want to obey Him. I want to obey the promptings of God on what I'm supposed to do today. And I'm telling you this in the midst of things that we're going through right now as a family. I'm desperately wanting that because I know it's the only way. I know it's the only way. Did worry add 1 minute to your life? Did it add any kind of peace to your life? No, it didn't. Sometimes we wait. And that's why he says we don't grow weary in well-doing. And this is the peace of waiting. And those who wait for the Lord, wait on the Lord, wait, serve Him, worship Him, they gain new strength. It doesn't make sense. Sometimes, no, all the time, we do it God's way. And this is God's way. Strength for the weak. How many of you, you don't need to raise your hand. How many are weak right now? Weak in your temptation. Weak in the circumstance. I would say if you're angry about your circumstances, you're weak. If you're walking in just a worry and a fear that is so controlling you that you can't do things that you need to be doing, you're weak. But God gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to the weak. And he says, they'll walk and not become weary. Does this verse of scripture say anything about God changing your circumstances? No, it doesn't. It just tells you what to do and how to live it, no matter what the circumstances are. So we want to walk with them. But he promises strength for the weary. Second thing he promises is strength for the battle. Strength for the battle. Psalm chapter 18, verses 32, 34. Watch, 32. The God who girds me with strength and then makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hind's feet. Now, hind's feet are deer, okay? And they're or goats high up on a cliff. Have you ever seen pictures of goats? Say, how in the world are they standing on that? And how do they get up there? Okay. Look, listen to this. He makes your feet like that. Sturdy, strong, on a ledge like this. That's the picture. He sets me upon high places. I'm sorry if you fear height, but it's a high place is good here, okay? Not bad. He trains my hands for battle, right? So that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. This is the promise of God. He gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to the weak. He gives strength for the battle. So no matter what the battle is, He girds us with strength. When I think about girding with strength, I think about the armor of God to fight the battle. He says, gird your loins with truth. What's the truth? The truth is God. The truth is Jesus. The truth is His Word. It's got to be the foundation of your life. That's why He starts with that. He says, put on the shoes of peace. What's the shoes of peace? It's so that we can proclaim the peace of God. But to proclaim it like we saw yesterday, last week, we've got to live it. And by the way, when I think about shoes, I think about feet. And when I think about feet in this kind of context, I think about the heel of Jesus who crushed the head of the enemy at the cross. That's what I think of. I think of God who makes His enemies a footstool. They're under His feet. This is the promise of God, that my enemy is under me, that the flood is under me. It's not over my head. I'm not drowning in it. No, he is Lord of it, and he gives me strength when I'm weak in it in the battle, and then he gives me strength to finish well. I say this because finishing well is not just about one day in your 80s or 90s and you finished well and you went through life without scandal and you might have had a scandal in early in life and you got through it. No, I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about finishing well through your trial. This is what he says. This is what Peter says. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. This is the strength of the Lord. And it's available to you always. Listen to me. Suffering is not the end of your story. God strengthening you is part of the end of your story. Do you hear that? We got it up there. Suffering is not the end of your story. Strengthening you is. So that in my suffering and my trial, I can find the strength of the Lord. I can move through this thing. Doesn't that make Philippians 4:10 make strength, make sense? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Folks, the God who strengthens you in all things is not about the football player who scores the touchdown and says, God's strength, and yet live his life in a way that doesn't please God. No, all things. Forget about touchdowns. I mean, I don't think there's one person in here had a touchdown in an NFL game. Anybody here did that? If you did, man, I want to talk to you afterwards because I'd like to hear your story. No, I can do all things. He's talking about, in this passage, contentment, finding contentment in where my circumstances are and what I have right now. That's what he's talking about. Because when then what's the all things through Christ who strengthens me? I mean, it means that I can walk through that trial strengthened where I'm not complaining, where I'm not grumbling, where I'm not nagging, where I'm not accusing God of not caring. But this is the all things. It's finding a sweet contentment in who I am in Christ and what God has given me and what Christ continues to do. That's what this is about today. It's the strength of the Lord. Listen, the Lord doesn't give you a store of strength for tomorrow. He gives you strength for right now, right here today. And tomorrow, he'll give you more. But we're worrying about tomorrow. We're worried about next week. Am I going to be able to make it? Are we going to be able to make it financially, physically, emotionally? No, listen, you got strength for today. Our great God, in the midst of the flood, promises you strength. That's what he does. And then, in this passage, he promises you peace. That elusive fruit, in my opinion, the most. It's just elusive. Because every one of us goes through something during the day where our peace is not there. And you might accuse somebody of taking your peace from you. No, you gave it up. You gave it up. They didn't take it from you. Peace through his presence. Now, watch this. This is how you find it. Isaiah 26:3. The steadfast mind you will keep in perfect peace because he, that's us, trusts in you, the Lord. Listen, the flood may be rising, but perfect peace belongs to the one who keeps his mind on the King. And I know that's a trick. I know that's hard. I know that's difficult. But it's the simplicity of the scripture. How many times have you been walking through something and you got your mind on the King and not the circumstance, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh man, I'm at peace. I've been at peace. And am I supposed to have that? And yeah, you're supposed to have that. Stop saying that. supposed to be walking in it. The peace that surpasses all understanding. And then that's the next passage. The next verse, it's peace through prayer. So I keep my mind on Him. And this passage is a powerful passage that we've talked about here recently. What does He say? He says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, I think it's so ironic for us Christian to see praying about something as something novel. I mean, we'll go through the worry, we'll go through the circumstances, we'll go through all these things, and we wake up one day, I even prayed about it. You haven't prayed about it? Do you believe prayer works? Yes. Then pray about everything. Everything. This is what He's saying. Be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything. Supplicate. Make your requests made known to God, right? With thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know what that is? It's like you're going through something and you don't understand the peace. How can I have peace with this? Or how can that person have peace in this? How can you be so steady? How can you be so mature? How can you have this peace on you when everything around you is crumbling? Why? Because I've chosen to be anxious for nothing. I know He's my King. And if I know He's my King, I know He's my Lord. And if I know He's my Lord, I know that He is sovereign. Peace. Peace in every circumstance. He promises peace through the storm. I love this passage in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, when the disciples are in the boat, they're going to the other side. Jesus already told them they're going to the other side. That means if you're going to the other side, you're going to make the other side. But the storm comes, and it's a bad storm, and these guys aren't used to bad storms like this, and they think they're going to die. They've never been in one this bad. And they fished the lake all their lives. And he's sleeping. That's what Jesus is doing. He's sleeping. Why is he sleeping? He's not sleeping because he's depressed. He's sleeping because he's tired. It's been a long day. And there's nothing that he's worried about. Why? Because he said, let's go to the other side. And when God says, let's go to the other side, mark this again, you're going to make it to the other side. Amen. You just are. And they forgot that. And they wake him up and they shake him and they say, you don't care that we're perishing. And he gets up, the Bible says, rebukes the wind and says to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind dies down and he becomes perfectly calm. And this is what I think. I think, listen, Jesus, you want to hear this. You want to hear him say, peace be still. He speaks into it. He gives voice to it. He gives word to it. He gives word to your flood, your trial. He gives peace. When I think about strength to endure, it's where I remain unscathed and I continue to love well even when it's hard. When I walk in the strength to be like Jesus, where I never grumble, never grow impatient, and I'm never angry. Strength for the battle to be courageous, resolute, victorious. Strength to confess your Lord over this flood. Strength to bless, not curse. To love, not hate. To walk by the Spirit, not the flesh. Strength to win this war in Christ, not walk in sin. And I think about that with this peace thought. Do you know what the word shalom means? Shalom is not just a greeting. It's one of the most powerful words in the Hebrew language. Peace is to be free. Shalom is to be free from worry, fear, anxiety. It's to know that you're safe. That no matter what's going on and no matter what the circumstances is in Christ, I'm well off. Now, let me tell you that. That's something that you've got to learn to say. In Christ, I'm well off. Because I can say, you're well off. He said, well, you haven't looked at my checkbook lately. Well, I've never looked at your checkbook. But we're well off because of Jesus. Because he is our provider. I say this. When I'm going through, as your pastor is going through some of these things, this last time, let me tell you what I've been hearing. I've been hearing Jesus say, quit acting like I'm not your shepherd. Quit acting like I'm not present. Quit acting like I'm not your provider. Quit acting like I don't get you to quiet waters, green pastures. Quit acting like I'm not with you in the valley of the shadow of death. Quit acting like I'm not present. You know, my rod and my staff, it comforts me. Quit acting like I've not anointed your head with oil. Quit acting like I'm not running after you. Goodness, quit acting like that. Quit acting like that. Now, I got to tell you, I don't think I made that up from my heart. I think God really does speak that to me. And I want to ask you, church, what are you acting like right now? And I'm going to give you a challenge here. Next time you see me, and I want you to do it in the foyer, okay? But next time, past Sunday, hey, what are you acting like, preacher? I want you to say that to me. I want that kind of accountability. Because I know the Word is real and the Spirit of God is real. And why would I be discontent with anything when I have Jesus? It's like Paul and Silas in the jail. I mean, they've just been beaten with rods. They're thrown into the sewer part of the jail. And what do they do at midnight? They praise God. They sing. They worship. And that Philippian jailer hears them after he's the one who beat them. No anger, no unforgiveness, no bitterness towards God or to anything. No, why? Because they know who's in the cesspool with them. They know who's chained up next to him. They know he's in the pit with you. He's present. And I'm going to tell you this, in his presence is fullness of joy. Do you understand that? You believe that, his presence? Well, we always think about the rosy days, the sunny days. But what about the hard days? Oh, may we awaken to this. May we be a people that awaken to the strength and to the peace and to the shalom of our great God. Because when the floods rise and the storms of life threaten to overwhelm you, God is your strength and Jesus, he's your peace. His strength is to be, and peace is to be found in this relationship. So pursue the relationship with God first. And then gird your loins up with this truth. He's king, that he gives you strength, and he gives you peace. I'm done. Let's stand together. I want you to go with me on this, okay? We did this last week. We hardly ever do this from time to time. We're taking offering, by the way, at the door today, all right? So if you came ready to give, don't forget, okay? I want you to confess this with me. You are Lord of my life. You're Lord of this flood. You sat as king then. You sit as king now. I choose to walk in the strength you've given. And receive your incredible peace you've blessed me with.